2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
For the love of Salt Lake Radio News, with Maria Chilios on KSL News Radio.
KSL radio hosts Grant Nielsen and Amanda Dixon have just shared with us the unique relationship they have with their listeners and how that relationship has changed now that they can interact with them while on the air. But radio also plays an important role in local communities in times of emergency.
I'll tell you the most heartbreaking day that, again, I think showed the connectivity with the community. It was 9/11. The buildings were falling, and we were the conduit through which the information was going through that day.
I was up in my office on the northwest corner of the 82nd floor. I heard a noise like a sonic boom almost, and then a blast. The building swayed, shook a little bit. I saw papers coming fly out of the middle of the building, and then we went to the staircase to try to get down. We were going down. We got stuck on one floor because the door and the staircase wouldn't even open.
We were all so focused and adrenaline flowing.
Two of KSL's longtime show hosts, Doug Wright and Scott Seeger, spent 10 continuous hours on air describing the events of that day.
Hardest story that I have ever covered. Because, I don't think anybody isn't touched by that tragedy in some way, either. You knew somebody, you had a relative that was involved. Here in Salt Lake, there were two people from Utah on one of the planes that they crashed. I think it was one that went into the World Trade Center. And just the humanity of it, 3,000 plus people killed in that terrorist attack.
None of us had time to really reflect. And I can remember President Hinckley had arranged for what was to be a presentation by the Tabernacle Choir that night for a group of business people in town. He expanded it into something that could be carried, would be carried on KSL and elsewhere, designed to be a comforting moment for the state, for the nation. So at 8 o'clock, we switched over, went to the Tabernacle. Driving up I-80 to my home, and all of a sudden I just burst into tears. It was like all day just collapsed on me. And the beauty of what I was hearing on the radio and realizing what it signified and what had led to this and the death and the destruction of that day, and I just wept and wept. And it just reminded me again of what a radio station could be, that all day long we fed the beast, we got the information out as best we could, and then to think that we could flip the switch at 8 o'clock and what a comfort it was to the community. I thought, man, that's what KSL is all about.
Events like 9/11 are an example of the importance of maintaining a strong local news presence. Radio has been shown to play a critical role in disseminating information in the event of emergencies such as natural disasters or severe weather events.
But we also realize that in a big emergency, tornado or something like an earthquake or like the flooding in Louisiana or so forth, the cell phone network is going to be way overloaded. We can't rely on it. So we are maintaining our two-way radio system for that very reason.
In 1999, the F2 tornado left a path of destruction through downtown Salt Lake City, resulting in the death of one person and injuries to 80 others. KSL's chief engineer, John Donnell, says,
well, I think when you have a situation like that, people want to know what's going on. And everybody has a car radio if they don't have anything else. They can run to that, and it'll work if the power's off. More recently, and we're kind of excited, we wish Apple would get on board, but at least in the Android world, most of the new phones coming out have a radio tuner in them. Sometimes you have to download a piece of software to activate it, and it's a little bit of a nuisance because you have to plug headphones in to listen to it, because not only is it the audio, but that functions as the antenna for the phone. But there's a lot of Android phones now that have radio tuners built into them, so people are carrying around the capability to listen to us anytime.
Not only has federal deregulation eliminated many of the sources for citizens to get information in an emergency, it has dramatically changed whether future generations will get a well-rounded perspective of what is happening in the world.
You know, the reason I knew what was going on when I was a kid is because Joe Lee told me. And if I didn't hit the button fast enough and go over to KCPX, I'd listen to the KNAK News. Or at KRSP, the same thing. It was mandatory. You had the newscasts. And a lot of younger people who would otherwise maybe try to dodge the news, you heard it on your rock and roll radio station. Now you don't. Now you might get traffic, you might get weather, but you don't get the news. So I think that's a factor. You, especially with the younger people now, they have to seek out their news. And often when they're seeking out their news, they will tend to go for something that is of particular interest. But back in the day, you'd get the whole deal. You know, you get a 5-minute newscast of all kinds of stuff.
In early 2018, the FCC continued to adopt sweeping changes that loosen media ownership rules. Not only did it eliminate the newspaper broadcast ownership rule and the radio television cross-ownership rule, it was poised to approve Sinclair Broadcast Group's plans to buy Tribune Media. Under the $3.9 billion deal, Sinclair would become the largest owner of stations with a reach of almost 59% of the country. A dispute between those two corporations is now being settled in the courts.
Radio is still the fastest of them all. Something big happened right now. Take me 5 seconds to walk to a studio, flip on a microphone, and start talking. So I think radio will always serve its purpose as long as it remains committed to serving the community.
Keep me company on my drive in, okay? And be local. Be local as hell. Talk about my politicians and my state government and my sports teams. That's what's going to save terrestrial radio.
I'm Maria Chaleos. A big thanks to all of the Salt Lake Radio broadcasters who helped make this documentary a reality. I must also thank my master's committee at the University of Utah, my chair, Dr. David Vergobe, and my committee members, Dr. Robert Avery and Dr. Tim Larson. Their valuable insight was instrumental in bringing greater depth and focus to this project. And last but not least, I'm grateful to my husband, Bob Nelson, for his loving support and production editing expertise.